We're going to jump in. Maybe this is your first time here. We've been in a series right now called Revival Time. Revival Time, and that's a very churchy word, right? And you're like, I got no idea what that means. And what revival means is this idea that God can move in our hearts and our minds and change our hearts and our minds, and he can move in a powerful way where we experience who he is and gives us something different than what we know as humans. And that's what we're wanting. That's what we're going for. We don't want routine. We don't want religion. We want a move of God that changes our hearts and minds. And that's what we're looking for in this series. We're asking God to move in such a powerful way. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Can I have a story to start the service? Is that okay, front row? Y'all okay with the service? You know, story. I was driving this past week. I was out driving. And I don't know if you've experienced this up here. Maybe it's just me. I don't think so. But I was driving, and this person in front of me was clearly in prayer because they were going like 10, 15 miles under the speed limit. And the only reason you would ever go that slow is if your eyes are closed, okay? And so they're in front, and they're causing me to pray. And it's not really working, because what comes out of my heart, what I catch come out of my heart, and I'm just being honest, this is going to scare some of y'all. Like, he's supposed to be a pastor. Y'all can judge me if you want. I hope not. That's not our church culture and ways and standards. We're not judgmental. But what I think after I'm just stuck behind them is there's freedom. There's a passing lane coming up. How many can y'all can say praise God for the passing lane? Yeah, the passing lane. There's freedom to be found. And so I'm like, all right, it's time to get in the passing lane. And then what happens is this person who's been content with their choices, they're just basking in their sin, going 10, 15 miles on the speed limit. We get to the passing lane, and y'all know what's about to happen because it's happening. They speed up. They gun it. And I promise you, I wish it wasn't true, but I'm just being honest. What comes out of my heart is I wish I could blow you off the road with a missile. Like, I'm not wishing I could pass you. At this point, your sin is so great, just wipe you off the face of the planet. And then I remember I'm a pastor with a vertical church sticker on my car. And I'm like, Jesus, help me. I don't know that was healthy, what came out of me. Like, that person needs Jesus clearly. Like, the gospel needs to be shared here. And all I want is just a nice, at least one, if not multiple missiles, just to blow them off the road. Because they don't need to be here at this point. What they've done is egregious. And man, I don't know about you. You ever have a moment where you're like, something came out of me that wasn't supposed to be there. I thought I was better than that. I'm a good person, or I'm a Christian. But something comes out of you and you're like, that probably wasn't healthy. And the Bible talks to us about those things that can come out of our heart. Jeremiah 17. And you know, if you want to open up your Bible or the Bible app, you can read along with us. We'll put the words on the screen because we believe the Word of God like pierces our heart. It can change who we are. It's powerful. Jeremiah 17, it's in the Old Testament. If you don't know where that's at, that's okay. It's not in the New Testament. So if you're like around Acts or Matthew or Colossians, you're not close. You got to go way back further. And Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Man, that sounds a little harsh, right? Because, I mean, what society pushes or tells us is that we're really good people. Society's even teaching us that, hey, follow your emotions. They're going to lead you to truth. Follow your desires. They're going to lead you to truth. It's all feel-good stuff that it sounds like. And then the Bible has to come along and says, the heart's deceitful. Who knows how bad it really is? And we're like, that doesn't sound nice. That doesn't sound good. I want the warm and fuzzies again. I want my emotions to be true. But what the Bible teaches, the complete opposite, is actually our emotions and desires may lead us to death. They're not all to be trusted. Actually, what comes out of our heart isn't always to be trusted. What comes out of your heart may be a desire to blow somebody off the road with a missile. And Jeremiah says that's real. But then the Bible also says the Lord searches our hearts and examine our motives. Because as humans, maybe you've been around Christians or good people long enough, we learn how to interact in society and not break any rules, and we're good people, and everybody thinks real highly of us. But then the Lord searches our heart and says, no, there's still some things in there like pride. You think more highly of yourself than you ought to. He searches our heart. And then have you ever had somebody wrong you? Have you ever had somebody wrong you, and then you feel like they got away with it? And then, man, you're just like, that's just terrible. It starts to eat away at you. You're like, man, they got away with that. That's awful. But the Lord says, no, I saw it. I saw it. They don't get away with that in my book. I saw it. But some of us, we want justice on our own rather than trusting the Lord. But the Lord says, no, I give people back good and bad consequences for what they've done. And we go, well, that's the Old Testament, right? We believe that Jesus changes things. He does. But what does he teach on our human heart? Jesus teaches on our human heart as well. Look at this in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And then he added, it's what comes from inside of you that defiles you, says Jesus. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. And we're like, uh-oh. Jesus doubles down on this idea that every last one of us, whether you're Pastor Phil, you're on the worship team, you're online here, Jesus doubles down on the idea that the one thing that unifies us as humans is vile things come out of our heart. That's the one thing that unifies us, is it may be different things, but they come out of us. I don't know if you know this about me. If you've been here a while, I've been honest. I'm a frugal person. I don't love spending money, but sometimes I do. You know, we just had to this weekend. My car was having problems, had to spend some money. That's not fun. Don't love that. But there was this moment. I opened up a bill. It was a water bill. This is one of my favorite bills because it's usually the smallest of the bills. I'm like, if I will accept a bill, this one is tolerable because of its low number. So a couple years ago, I opened up the bill just so I can see a bill that's more easily paid compared to the other ones. That's fine. And I open up, and somebody has done this audacious thing where they've added zeros to it. And I said, this is unacceptable. This was the one bill I got along with. This was the one bill that was okay. We were okay. And this bill is now ginormous. And I call the company, you've made a mistake. I'm willing to pay the $17 bill or whatever it was. But this number is going to break us financially. So we're not going to do this. And they said, well, you have a leak then. And I said, I live in this house every day and I see no water where it shouldn't be. There is no leak. And they said, well, it's probably in your yard. You'll see the grass grow and everything will be luscious. And I said, I looked at my yard and that does not describe it. We're not there yet, okay? And they said, okay, well, you can hire out teams. And they come out with these water detectors machines. It looks like they're searching for, like, Blackbeard's gold out of my front yard. They got all these machines looking for water. And they come back and we can't find a leak. And so I'm like, well, look at the bill. You see the zeros. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. They're like, well, we'll have to dig up your entire yard. I said, whatever you have to do to make these numbers go away, you do that. That's the plan right now. And so they dig up the yard and they finally go, well, there actually is a leak. And I said, you don't say. They fixed the leak. But see, I didn't know there was a leak in the yard until the bill showed up. Life was fine and everything was good until finally something happened to reveal what was going on and I didn't know it. But our human heart can be that way. Our human heart can kind of have stuff going on that we may not even realize until it finally comes out of us. And you may be sitting there and you don't even know some of the stuff that's really rattling around in your heart right now. Or maybe you're here and you do realize what's rattling around in your heart. And it's a struggle for you. And it's why you're here at church. You're like, is there anything that's different? Is there any hope for me? And I got good news. Jesus teaches a second thing. He's got good news. He teaches a second thing. And it's found in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. If you're in Mark, you're right there. You're super close. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you're close. John chapter 7, verse 38 says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Underline that word. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Anyone is what Jesus says. Anyone who comes to me can have something different come out of their heart than what we've talked about. All of humans, the one thing that unifies us is what comes out of our heart without Jesus is sin. That's our one option. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're on the worship team. It doesn't matter if you're serving in the church. It doesn't matter if you're here for the first time. What unifies us, our one thing, is sin comes out of our heart. And Jesus says, I can do something different, though. And he says, anyone. And maybe you've been on the fence about this Jesus thing because you think you've messed up too much. Maybe God can't do revival in your heart. Maybe he can't change or move in your heart and bring something different, but that's not what we believe here. And one of the reasons maybe you don't want to really move or do something different is you're like, what will the other church people think? What will they say about me if God really starts to move and I really have to make changes? But the reality is, our standard here as a church is we need God to move, because what the Bible teaches is without a move of God, all we're going to get out of human hearts is sin. Part of my testimony is I used to be a porn addict. And I know I talk about it from time to time, but I can tell you right now, God's moving in a powerful way, because what I've been getting the most of the past 6 months, more than I usually get, because over the past 6 months, you know, it's been a new wave, a new higher number than what I usually have, is guys reaching out to me and they start with, hey, I know this may be weird for you, but I know you've talked about it in the past, and God's really doing something in my heart to deal with my addiction to pornography. And I felt like maybe I can talk to you about it since you've been open about it. I've seen a massive influx in the past 6 months with guys reaching out, and they always start off with, I know this thinks this is weird. I'm probably the only one. And I'm like, you're not. I'm getting a ton of these calls lately. And maybe you're listening right now, and you know God's working on your heart. And you think, I can't talk to anybody. You can call me. You can text me. You can email me. The reason I'm open about my testimony is not to celebrate my sin, but celebrate who changed my life. Like, and to tell you, that's available for you. Like, you're not too far gone. Whatever addiction you're struggling with, like, you can pick up the phone or email or text me. Or now, I will say, ladies, this is where I draw the line. Please do not email your pastor about your pornography addiction. We will help you with another female leader. I'm not trying to judge you, but that's like, I'm not going there with you, okay? We'll find a female leader. We will help you for sure, but Pastor Phil and a female are not going to have a one-on-one session about your pornography addiction, okay? And so we will totally help you. We will support you, but it just won't be me in that kind of counseling way. But man, God's moving in people's hearts behind the scenes. This revival is starting to happen. Like, hey, we need to deal with this stuff in our heart because it's not healthy. And the world wants to tell you it's healthy. The world wants to make a joke out of it. It's all healthy. We're all good. We can do whatever your heart and emotions and things want. But they're not always to be trusted. And God's moving in people's lives. And I want to tell you, it's okay for you to come be honest here and say, hey, I need God to do something different in my heart. I need revival in my heart. Because my goodness, if we can't do it at church, where are we supposed to do it? Like, if we can't be a church that says, hey, if you're struggling with something, come, we will rally around you, work with you, pray with you, encourage you, support you as you look to move forward, have a change, a move of God in your heart to bring something different than the things that normally come out of it. If you want living water, we have to humble ourselves and say, God, I need a move of you in my life for something different, because if I don't, all my hope is what's going to be sin coming out of my heart. That's all it is. That's all it's ever going to be. But we believe if you're willing to humble yourself before God and say, God, I need something different, please come move in my life. That's what happened to me years ago when I finally dealt with it. But man, what happens is sometimes, I'm going to talk to you Christians for a minute, is we give our life to Jesus and then we start to figure out all the rules, the ways of life, and then we start to think we're good and we're comfortable. We don't really rely on Jesus anymore. Does it say living waters come out of you when you learn how to be good enough? Or do living waters come out for anyone who believes? Man, is living water coming out of you, Christ follower, right now? or have you discovered something we don't always talk about in churches anymore, is even after you come follow Jesus, there's still parts of you that want you to go back to sin. And that's what trips so many people up in churches, is I give my life to Jesus. I thought everything was supposed to be perfect. I was never supposed to have any troubles anymore. And then something happens and I go, well, who do I talk to? I already did that Jesus thing once. It must not work. Jesus says he'll bring living waters out of your heart. He doesn't say that your heart will never want anything else either. Temptation is still real. You may need to make some different choices in life because temptation may try to come back. You may need to make some different choices in life. You may need to change up some friends. You may need to decide, hey, I don't need internet on my phone anymore because that's not going great for me. You may need to say, I'm not going to go over to that person's house because I always get into alcohol, or I always get into drugs, or I don't need to be hanging out with that person because what comes out of my heart is gossip every single time. We may need to make some different choices, because if we're going to have revival and where our belief here at this church is God is who he says he is, Jesus can absolutely change your life, that what he just taught here is available for you, that anyone who will come to him and believe in him can have living water come out of them. It does not matter your mistakes. It does not matter your sin. You are not too far gone, but you have to trust in Jesus and not yourself. And living water can come out of you. Man, if you come to this church and you're like, man, all these people, maybe they just have it together. I'm like, you have come to the wrong church if that's what you think. Like, the unifying factor for most of us here at Vertical is, man, we have a messed up past, and Jesus Christ changed our life. We're not here to judge you or condemn you, but we are blatantly here to encourage you, give your life to Jesus. Because that is what he teaches. Anyone who comes to him can have living water. Anyone. That's available for you today. And we do want to encourage you with that. As I was praying through this message, I really felt like the Lord laid four things on my heart of what blocks revival from coming out in our heart. There's four things that can block revival from coming out of our heart. And if you're a note taker, this is a great time to jump in. If you've fallen asleep, come back to us. Four things that block revival. The first thing, anxiety and stress and depression. Anxiety, stress, and depression is one of the biggest blocks for revival in our heart. I've been honest, that's something I've really struggled with after I started following Jesus, not before. After I started following Jesus, I've struggled at different points in times with anxiety, stress, depression, and what it always usually comes back to, I'll be honest about mine, is I worry and stress about futuristic events, things that haven't happened yet, but I'm worried about what may happen, and usually mine's a lot of times with health. Like, I'm that guy who is just always worried, like, I'm out playing softball, my ankle starts hurting, I'm like, well, I'm going to die. And my wife's like, how did you get there? And I'm like, this amazing site called WebMD changed my life. She's like, yeah, but not in a good way. And if you've never struggled with anxiety, stress, or depression or anything like that, you're not going to get it, and I don't want you to get it. Like, I don't want you to understand. But those of us who have wrestled that we get it, it's not a logical thing. Like, we don't need you to tell us what we're struggling with is illogical, because we know. We know it's not logical, but we're still struggling. Okay, so let's just be honest about that. We can't logic ourselves out of stress or anxiety or depression. Sometimes we need help. And I want to be honest with you, if you're taking medicine to help that, that's okay. We are not against medicine here. We just tell you, don't put your trust in that as your savior. That's for Jesus. It's a physical answer for a physical problem, because we're physical people, but we're also spiritual. We're spiritual beings, and medicine can't heal that spiritual side of us. And so, man, if you're struggling with that, I want to encourage you, it's okay to go talk to somebody about it. We're big believers here in Christian licensed counseling, okay? So that's okay if you need to step up, take medicine, but also we need to trust Jesus. First Peter chapter 5 says this, cast all your cares on Jesus, for he cares for you. So many times when I'm struggling with maybe anxiety or stress, particularly what I realize is I'm holding something. I'm holding this worry. I'm holding what I'm so concerned about or fretting about. I'm holding this and believing this is going to happen to me. Well, if I'm believing that this is going to happen to me, who am I not believing in right now? Jesus. And I picture myself, and it sounds weird, but maybe this will help you. I picture myself going, actually, Jesus, I realize I'm holding some things, and I'm supposed to give them to you. Because if I trust you in faith, and go, maybe this can happen to me. Maybe this will happen to me. I don't know, but regardless of what happens to me, I will trust you because I can't hold this because what it's bringing out of me is not healthy. This is not bringing something healthy out of me, so I have to give it to you. And you may go, man, that's powerful that you did that one time. I have to do it like 512 times sometimes in a day, okay? So if you're like, man, I tried that once and it worked for like 3 seconds, well, it's time to try again. That's okay, because as humans, sometimes we're like, oh, this looks nice. I'm going to pick this right back up. And then it starts building anxiety and stress. We're like, actually, this isn't working for me. I got to give it. And some of y'all, we got to give it together. We got to give it back to Jesus, because if we're holding it, it's stress, anxiety, it's preventing revival in our heart, because we can't have revival in our heart if we're trusting in something else rather than Jesus. And so if you're struggling with that, I just want to encourage you. I get it, and I'm encouraging you to talk to somebody, work with somebody. If you need to reach out to me, I promise I will get back to you as best as I can, okay? Because I want to be there for you. I don't want to be this pastor that's like, I get up and give a sermon and I disappear. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not helpful. But I'm not the only person who can help you. I promise you that. I'm not the only person Jesus has brought living water out of. There's other people. I promise. The second thing is generosity. Generosity. And I just want to tell you guys, I believe we're a generous church. I believe we're a generous church when it comes to our time, our finances. I believe we're a generous church. But the Lord laid on my heart to talk about this. And when I say generosity, so many times, what do we think about? That pastor wants my money. Like, let's just be honest. Like, that's the awkward thing in the room. That's what everybody's thinking. And I just want to tell you, I don't want your money. I don't really care about your money. That's between you and God. And I think God has standards. I think God has callings. I think he has purpose. And I tell people, if you're wrestling with generosity, or maybe you don't know you're wrestling with generosity, here's my one test for you that may help you. You go to a restaurant, you enjoy some nice food. Enjoy the food, it's great. The waitress or waiter, they bring out your drinks, they bring out your food, they take your order, they clean up after your plates. It's been a great experience. And then the bill comes out, and one of two things typically happens. You go, I wonder how little I can give as a tip and get away with it. Or I'm going to be generous. It's one of the quickest ways to see what's really in your heart, I tell people. If the tip comes out and you're like, the check comes out, and our mentality after that waiter or waitress done all that stuff for us, and how little can I give and get away with it? There's a check in our heart about generosity. A lot of times being generous or being a poor tipper is like a couple dollar difference. It's the most bizarre thing, but that's what's in our hearts. And if I can tell you anything, it's not a great look for Christians if we're the cheapest people on the face of the planet. Like, if God's love and grace, he's been so generous with us to change our lives when all we had was sin coming out of our heart, and he looked and said, I'll take anyone who comes to follow me will have living water, and then we turn around and we're not generous people, that doesn't give us a good look. And in case you're wondering, if I'll be the first person to ever reveal this to you, if they're a true waiter or waitress and they're just bringing your food and taking your order and everything, they're only paid off tips. Like, in case you're wondering, they're not making $15, $20 an hour and everything else is just gravy. They're like, if you stiff them on a tip, you literally cost them money because you sat in the place of someone else who would tip them. Like, you literally got there for free. So just in case you never knew that about waiters or waitresses, I'll tell you, grew up working in a restaurant. It was a powerful experience, and I washed a lot of dishes. It was not the most fun job I've ever had on the face of the planet. But there's also something happening inside our church. In case you're wondering, like, we're growing. Have y'all discovered that? You notice that? I mean, we're growing as a church. And one of the things that's happened is a couple weeks ago, we had almost 40 people in children's church here at MACA. And I bet if I would have asked most of us, we would have said, I would have never known that happened, right? Because they're kind of across the hall. They're doing their own thing. Like, we don't really know what's going on. I mean, do y'all know what goes on back there? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they disappear or where they go, or they're taking on a bus somewhere and go for a ride and come back. I don't know what happens back there. You know, there's some people who have been serving in children's church for years now, and I guarantee 97% of our church wouldn't even know they attended Vertical because they serve back there so much to make sure kids get to experience a move of God. Like, I don't know if you noticed about Vertical, whether you're in Hiawassee or here, is we're a multi-generational church. Have you discovered that about us? Like, we're not a church who's just for young people. We're not a church that's just for retired people. We're a church that's for people who want to believe in the mission and vision and plans and purposes of what God's doing here. But what's happening right now is there is a lot of families who are coming here and like, man, that God is doing something. I want to be a part of that. And they're bringing their kids. Praise God. And I can tell you, as the pastor, one of the things I want our standard to be is we're not a church where the adults get to experience God. I want us to be a church where all the generations get to experience God. And right now what's happening because of the growth, because God's moving and these people are coming, we have to look at each other in the eyes right now and go, can we be generous with our time? And man, if we're honest, some of us are like, I'll give a 25% tip as long as I don't have to give my time, right? Like, you would never say that, but the reality is when it comes to our time as Americans, we're like, I don't have any right now. And then when it comes to maybe children's church, you're like, man, that's got to be somebody else's calling. I was reading this study that blew my mind a couple months ago. They said one of the main reasons young people don't stay in the church is not because they don't end up believing in Jesus or the Bible's too weird. One of the main reasons young people don't stay in the church is they didn't have adults care about them. It's one of the main reasons young people walk away is they go, this wasn't for me. And so I'm just going to ask, as God's moving, continually growing, I'm going to come out and ask, which I rarely do as a senior pastor, but I believe in this church. It's why as the senior pastor, I can tell you point blank, I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be here because I believe in what God's doing here. I believe in you guys here. But what I'm going to ask is if we can be generous with our time to go where God's going. Like, I'm not asking you to go meet a need that doesn't exist right now. I'm going, God's moving. Young people are coming. Can we give of our time? And my ask is, can you go look at Courtney in Hiawassee or Tracy here or just a staff member if you don't know Tracy because she's off in the children's world universe over there that we don't even know exists sometimes. You're like, I don't know who the heck Tracy is. Come talk to me and say, hey, if we're a family, I'll step up and serve for this season. And what I'm asking you, if you will make that commitment, is to come serve once a month, and your one thing I'm asking you to do is just go care about kids. I'm not asking you to be the next Billy Graham of children's ministry. I'm asking, will you step up and go, hey, if it's going to make a difference in the life of a young person that I just go back there and care, I'll do that. Maybe you grab your friend and you go over and you talk to Courtney and Tracy, hey, we want to sign up once a month for this school year. That's my ask. Once a month for this school year to help us as we continue to grow and meet the needs of young people. Because this can't be a church where the move of God is just for the adults. Like, it's got to be for the next generation, right? Like, man, I don't know if you know this, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but there's going to come a day if Jesus doesn't come back where all of us, we're looking to the next generations to keep the faith. This faith that changed our life, that where Jesus means everything to us, if we don't pass it to the next generations, it's just for us. And that can't be us as a church, and I don't think it will be, because I believe in this church. I actually think that after today, we're going to have enough people go back to Courtney and Tracy and go, hey, I'll meet that need. If that's the need right now, if we need to be generous with our time, I'll step up. Me and my friend, we're going to step up. We're going to go serve once a month back there, and we're going to care about kids because this move of God is not just for us. I believe in our church that much. So that's my ask. Can we be generous with our time for a season, for this school year? Because it's a need. They're overflowing back there. And I know it's easy to miss, whether it's in Hiawassee or here, we don't really know what's going on because we're just out here. We got the awesome worship team. We got this pastor up here rattling about who knows what. But man, can we step up and just be generous with our time? It's my one ask. The third thing God put on my heart was racism. And racism, I'll be point blank, racism is like straight from the pits of hell. And the reason it's straight from the pits of hell is for someone to hate somebody else because the skin color God gave them is vile. Like, no one has a skin color because they asked. Unless you're talking about me coming back from the beach and it's burnt. But man, nobody has a skin color because that's like what they checked at the box at their birth. They're like, I'll take that one. Like, that skin color was God-given. And for a human to hate who God created them to be with their skin color is just straight vile. And it's really hard for us as Christians to share good news about Jesus with someone you hate. And that's why we always have to protect our hearts from racism, but also prejudice. Like, if you decide you just don't like old people, man, you're never going to go serve them, right? Or man, if you just decide I don't like young people, you're never going to go serve them. You're never going to love your neighbor as yourself because I just don't like them. If you just decide I don't like people who drive real slow and then speed up in the passing lane, Pastor Phil, you can't share the gospel with them. Because there's something in your heart blocking revival, blocking a move of God because I don't like them and I don't like them and I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm not going to share good news with them. And that is from the enemy. It's one of the reasons we always have to search our heart. God, is there something blocking you moving through me to impact the world around me? Because our standard here at the church is you're a leader. And we define leader as a disciple in action, someone who goes out and says, I believe God can work through my life. I believe God can bring living water out of my life, make an impact through my life. But he won't do it if we've got stuff on our heart that prevents us from sharing good news or serving other people. And so we've always got to check our heart. I don't care if you've been a Christian 50 years, what can happen is prejudice and racism in people's hearts. Because maybe you had a bad experience. And so you go, well, I'm just going to blanket that across everybody. But we can't have stuff in our hearts against people. It doesn't work like that if we're going to have revival in our hearts. And the fourth thing that really blocks revival in our hearts is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness really blocks revival, a move of God in our hearts, because watch what Jesus says. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Jesus, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In case you're ever wondering, Jesus teaches hard things. Jesus teaches hard things. Notice what he says, though. He doesn't say, forgive the people who might have done something wrong against you. He doesn't say, forgive the people who may or may not have done something wrong. It may have, may not have been an injustice. Jesus says, no, the sin. He calls it exactly what it is. What they did is wrong. Jesus point blank says, the people who absolutely 100% did something wrong against you, Jesus says that. You have to forgive that. And if you don't, Heavenly Father won't forgive you. I don't know, Ben Crick, in case you're wondering, that's a high bar, is it not? But the reason Jesus teaches it is because people are going to sin against us. People are going to do something that's 100% wrong against us. And sometimes it even happens inside the church. But if we don't forgive them, Jesus says, Heavenly Father won't forgive you. And just in case you're wondering, forgiveness is not looking around going, hey, actually, I'm going to pretend what you did is okay. That's not forgiveness. Condoning someone's actions is not forgiveness. But saying, I'm not going to hold this in my heart against you, that's forgiveness. Kelly, one of our worship leaders in Hiawassee, she said she heard an example that really made an impact in her life. She said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. Drinking poison but expecting it to hurt the other person. The only person that's getting hurt with unforgiveness is the person holding it. The other person, most likely, in case your experience is like me, they're just bebopping along. They're having a great time. They're just going 15 miles under the speed limit, and then they got to speed up in the passing lane. That's what they're out there doing. They're just living their best life. And Pastor Phil out there, just unforgiveness in my heart, man. Just want to blow them off the road with a missile. They don't care. They probably out there just listening. I don't know what kind of music those kind of people listen to. Some Beach Boys. I don't know. I feel like, man, you listen to the Beach Boys, you're just happy. You're feeling having a great day. That's what you're picturing. Okay, I get that. But man, if we can't deal with unforgiveness in our heart, do not ever expect revival to happen in our hearts or in our churches. We have to be a people who, it's not that we condone what's happening. It's not what we are saying is they're doing is okay. Jesus point blank calls it sin. He says what they did is 100% wrong, but he says if you can't forgive them, you will not experience a move of God in your heart. And that's got to be our standard as a church, is we want a move of God. We want it just not just for us, but for other people in our church. We want it for other churches, and that's not going to happen if we're going to hold stuff in our hearts against people. And so what I want to ask is, as we close out, is there something in your heart? Is there something in your heart where God's working? And he's saying, give me that. Give me that thing that's blocking a move of God in your heart right now. Because I genuinely believe what Jesus teaches. He says living water is available for anybody, for anyone, if they'll come to me, if they'll trust me, if they'll follow me. Living water is available for anyone. But sometimes we got to deal with the stuff in our heart, and we got to be humble enough to do it. And if there's no humility, we'll never see God move. If we just pretend we're proud and we're good and we got it all together and we follow Jesus for a long time, or I'm too proud to finally trust in Jesus rather than myself, if that's just who we are, like I can tell you, like we're never going to see a move of God. Like when I say move of God, like people being healed of illnesses and sicknesses. Like when I'm talking about like revival, like I'm talking about an addict walks in one day and being set free the other day. Like I'm talking about someone who the rest of society is saying that person, they're too far gone. And Jesus says, actually, that's a heart where living water can come out of. Like when I talk about revival, we can be excited for that. That's available. Like I can tell you when we open our doors, Hiawassee here online, I can tell you when I'm talking about revival, I'm talking about it's available right now. Right now. God's heart is to change people's lives. And he has the power and authority to do it. The reality is a lot of times it's what's in our heart that blocks that. Can we deal with that? And so I just want to ask us to pray right now. Just pray, because a lot of times we just want to rush, we move on. It's uncomfortable for sometimes for God to look into our heart and say, hey, this actually needs to change. We actually need to deal with this. This is blocking the best in the plans I have for you. And maybe what's blocking it is that stress. Maybe it's that anxiety. Maybe it's that depression. Maybe it's, man, I got to be generous. I got to go do something that's uncomfortable. It's stretching me. I got to be generous in certain ways that I don't really kind of want to, if I'm honest. I've got to step out and deal with maybe that racism or prejudice in my heart. It's blocking me from loving my neighbor. Maybe I've got to deal with the unforgiveness, even though somebody has sinned against me. What they did was wrong, but I've got to deal with that unforgiveness. Or maybe it's something else. But I believe God's speaking to people's hearts and minds because I believe he loves us. I believe God loves his creation. And when he looks down and he sees things that are in our hearts and minds that are not of him, he has a heart out of love that wants to deal with them. And I say that's not healthy, that's not the best, that's not right. And the reality is, what holds us back is our pride. An inability to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need you to give me something different. I need you to move in my heart. I can't do this on my own. I need the power of God to move in my heart. And we're going to have a moment where we extend the worship for just a minute or two, because right now we need to give God the space to be God. I will not lead us to be a church where this is casual, this is just routine, we're just checking boxes. I want to see us be a church where we're willing to push in when it's uncomfortable, willing to go, hey, God's moving right now, and we're just going to let God be God. And if that's you, if you know, man, God's working on my heart, maybe you want to come up to the front and Hiawassee are here and pray down front. We will pray with you. Maybe you want to step to the side and have someone specifically pray with you. Say, God, will you help me? Help me. Speak and move in my heart. But if we're a church that and we can't create an atmosphere where we're humble before the Lord, we won't see revival. It doesn't matter how many people come here. It doesn't matter how great the worship teams are. It doesn't matter how great the leaders are in our church. If we can't be humble and say, God, I'm going to worry less about what people think and more about, are you bringing living water out of my heart? Am I trusting in you and not myself? Am I believing in you? Am I asking and appealing for a clean slate, wiping away my sin, Lord? And so if that's you, just come on front. We got prayer leaders off to the side. If that's you, just come on. Let's just be a church that's humble. We don't look to trust in ourselves. We don't care what people think. We just genuinely just want to be a church where we say, God, please move. Change my heart. Help me be right with you, God, as I look to be one who trusts in you and not myself. In the name of Jesus, we pray and trust. Amen and amen.